Good morning, welcome back to Nachyomi. Today we are going to be learning together Mizmor Lamed Beis, the 32nd psalm in the book of Tehillim. It's a very beautiful Mizmor, and it's a little bit different to most of what we have learned together up till now. This Mizmor, in fact, is a short one. It is comprised of 11 psukim, and it has three main sections, which we'll see in just a moment. The first is the introduction, the first two psukim, and they really essentially start with the word Ashrei. The first one is L'David Maskil Ashrei K'nesui Pesha. The second one is Ashrei Adam Lo Yashov Hashem Lo Yavon. And they're talking about how praiseworthy is a person who no longer has sin in front of Hashem. The main section of this Mizmor is Psukim Gimel to Ches, you could say Gimel to Tes potentially as well, which is really the story of the narrator, how he suffers, how he confesses, and how he is saved. And finally, the moral of the story is the last two or three psukim, where he talks about, ultimately, the meaning in suffering. What is the central theme of this Mizmor? It seems pretty clear. There's a few major themes, but one of them is let's just contrast this Mizmor to the first Mizmor in the entire book of Tehillim. Tehillim, altogether, starts off with the pasuk, Ashrei ha'ish asher lo halach ba'atzas rasha'im, uv'derech ha'toim lo yamod, uv'moshov leitzim lo yashov. Praiseworthy is a person who did not walk among the evil, he did not go in the stand among the sinners, and he did not sit among those scoffers, the insolent. It's interesting that we're talking about a person who really never engaged in sin, and the Mizmor in Mizmor Aleph continues to describe the reward of such a person. However, in this Mizmor, Lamed Beis, we start off also with an Ashrei, praiseworthy, but this is not the same kind of person. Ashrei Adam lo yachshov Hashem lo yavon ve'en beruchoi rimiya. Praiseworthy man who no longer holds guilt and in whose spirit is no longer deceit. We're now talking about a person who's not an angelic person who never engaged. We're talking about a person who did sin and ultimately has come through and is able to remove that sin from themselves. That's a remarkably different perspective of the kind of person we're talking about. This leads us to really the second theme in this Mizmor, which is the relationship to suffering. The Mishorer, the narrator, describes numerous different aspects of suffering that he undergoes. And he emphasizes that the opportunity within the suffering to find connection to Hashem through it. That tzaddikim take it to heart, but the rishayim do not take it to heart. The evil simply suffer, and therefore their suffering ends up being a meaningless and very painful experience. For example, towards the end he says, Rabim machovim l'rasha, many pains are there to the wicked, v'abotach b'Hashem, chesed yasovavenu. The person who trusts in Hashem will be surrounded with chesed, with kindness. That does not mean to say that the tzaddikim do not suffer, but it means to say that within the suffering, they understand that it is with chesed. They understand that there is a meaning in that process. This might actually be why this Mizmor Lamed Beis, is in direct conversational person, what's called noichach with Hashem, where the Mishorer is speaking directly to Hashem, as opposed to Mizmor Aleph, where it's describing academically Hashem's ways with those who are completely righteous. Because within the same suffering, a person is able to utilize that opportunity to turn their soul upwards and speak to Hashem about it. It is interesting that the Mishorer, the narrator, describes his suffering in general terms as perhaps a vicarious way to help other people to be able to experience his journey. Or perhaps he's giving generalized ways because everybody, in a certain sense, suffers these ways to some degree or another. Examples being, Ki yomam v'layla tichbad olay. Day and night, your hand is heavy on me. Tichbad olay yodecho, nepach l'shadi. My vigor waned. V'charvonei kai etzela in the summer drought. Chastosi od yachov v'avoni lo kisisi. He goes on, he says, you forgave the sin of my guilt. So we're talking about very generic experiences of the human spirit. In terms of events behind this Mizmor, the Da'at Mikra Rav Amos Chacham suggests that this Mizmor was said publicly to elicit vidui, to elicit confession, like it describes from the public at opportune moments. However, some of the Mepharshim say that it actually relates to a more specific event. So for instance, the Malbim says this relates to the event to be found in Sefer Shmuel Beis, Perek Chof Aleph, a very tragic event in which there is a 3-year drought in the land of Israel, and David HaMelech at this point in time, calls upon the Urim V'Tumim. He asks of Hashem, what is the cause of this? And he finds out that it's because of the suffering caused by the sons of Shaul, or Shaul himself, with the Givonim, the treatment of another nation around them. And ultimately, in rectification of that, they go to them, and the Givonim demand the children, the remaining children of Shaul HaMelech, which David HaMelech consults and is told he is able to give over, and he gives over, and they kill them. It's a very sad, very tragic moment. And there obviously are parallels in this Mizmor to it. One of the parallels is the description of how he's suffering from a drought, which clearly is referring to some incidents in David HaMelech's life. It is also interesting that that this process of Teshuvah is, although it was about specific people who are being sacrificed because of the sin over here, it's clear that this was a societal sin, or it would not have been a societal suffering, which means to say that when there is the suffering, everybody is turning inwards, everybody needs to do something to improve the situation. That's what David HaMelech is referring to. One question that the Ibn Ezra actually asks at the beginning of this mizmor, which is a very good question, is he points out that elsewhere in Tehillim, David HaMelech says, "Ki chasidani v'lo yisitein chasidecha." So he says that he describes himself as a chassid. A chassid is not just a person who's meticulous with the letter of the law, but is a person who goes above and beyond. How can he describe himself as a person who goes above and beyond, and certainly a person who keeps the law, if here he's talking about sin and getting repatriation, being able to get through the process of teshuva, if he describes himself as a chassid? So his one answer is that there's a difference between pesha and chet. The one is the crime is a social crime against Bnei Adam. The other one is against Hashem. So maybe there's a difference between what dimension is the lateral dimension, is the vertical dimension that he's describing his sin in. There's another option, and that is that David HaMelech may actually be very close to perfect, but he's describing the sins of others, those who are in exile, whether it be personal, whether it be psychological, emotional, physical exile that they find themselves in. David HaMelech is stretching himself to that experience as well. That's what Ibn Ezra suggests. In terms of places in the Tefillah this appears, the whole Mizmor does not appear in our Tefillah, but Pasuk Zion, as an example, does appear in the Kriya Shema Lamita in the Nusach Ari. Atos Seser Li Mitzar Titzreini Ronei Falet Tesoveveni Sela. Hashem is going to surround me and protect me. That's what we say before we go to sleep in the Nusach Ari. Just one or two psukim in the spotlight. The first pasuk is a very meaningful pasuk, where it says that David maskil ashrei nesui pesha kesui chata. This is a maskil of David. Happy be the one whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is covered up. So just a few points. First of all, the word maskil is unusual. It only appears 14 times in the book of Tehillim. And the word can actually mean, maskil means to understand. And this relates back to one of the themes that two people can go through the same experience enough, and one will just see it as meaningless suffering, and the other person will understand that they're being guided, they're being led, they're being directed, they're gaining, this is a crucible in their life, to finding something within themselves. And the difference between those two people is not necessarily the circumstance, but their haskala, their perspective, their understanding of that, which is why that perhaps this starts with the David maskil. It is interesting that there's a debate within this on this first pasuk, is what's going on over here. Because if you translate the pasuk, it's Ashrei Nesui Pesha, praiseworthy is a person who is forgiven of sin, bears sin, and Kesui Chata, whose sin is covered over. What does it mean, Kesui Chata? Does that mean to say we're expected, the correct practice is to hide sins that we commit? It seems to be a debate. The Gemara in Brachos on Daf Lamed Daled Amud Beis, the very end of the perek there, the end of the fifth perek, says, Amar Rav Kahana, chotziv olai mandam forish chata'e. Says it is impudent of a person to express publicly their sin. Meaning to say, a person should not be publicizing what they sinned, quoting this pasuk in this mizmor. However, the Gemara in Yomaleit actually points out that this is a little more of a complex issue. The Gemara brings a contradiction, where elsewhere in Mishle we say, mechaseh p'sha'av lo yatzliach. Right? So the person who covers his sin will not succeed. And the Gemara then goes on to suggest one might be with a public sin and one is a non-public sin. One might be with a sin which is a social crime, one might be a religious crime against Hashem or others. And the general idea is that sometimes there is a place for public recognition. When a person sins publicly, when a leader makes a public transgression, then actually the public confession could be something which is very helpful. But on a day-to-day basis, when it's something which might not be, something which affects others, which might be something which relates to Hashem, is not a leadership sin, then in those cases actually might be more value not to publicize it, to be able to deal with it privately, and there's a value to that. This seems to be what it was, some of the debate that's found in the first pasuk. The last pasuk we're going to consider is pasuk Vav, where it says, "Al zois yispalel kol chasid elecha." On this, every faithful person should daven to Hashem la'es mitzoy at a time of finding, at a time of discovering. Rak l'shetiv ma'im rabim elecha lo yagiu. Let the right rushing mighty waters not overtake him. What is this referring to? So the Gemara in Brachos Dav Chesam Aleph says this refers to a spouse. A person who's looking for a spouse. It's actually described in the man to woman direction. So a man praying to find his soulmate. Obviously, it goes in both directions. But the Gemara quotes the pasuk where the word mitzoy is actually used to describe finding one's spouse. So this is what it's referring to. Alzois yispalel kol chasid elecha la'es mitzoy. When should they pray? At the time of mitzoy, the time that they need to find. They need to find their soulmate. However, there are other options. Rashi says, for instance, what is the flood described in this pasuk? L'shetef mayim rabim refers to when the enemies are flooding in. And I think perhaps in a different vein, the Mitzudos David says that the suffering over here is that we're describing is where a person is praying, Hashem, I know that life is not going to be smooth riding. I know it's not going to be cruise control. I know it's not going to be easy. But please make sure that even though there is suffering which is necessary and will come along, and is going to allow me to suffer within this world and not have to suffer in the next world, but please don't make it all at once. Don't make it like L'shetef, Mayim Rabim. Don't make it like the mighty waters all at once. Allow me to be able to get through this incrementally and be able to continue my life and learn the meaningful lessons as necessary. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.